God is the one who's offered salvation, and he's the one who determines the terms. He's the one who sanctifies. He determines the means. And if we come in faith, according to how God ordained it, that's how he changes us into the image of Jesus Christ. And I know this is true. I actually see the fruit of it in our own congregation.
Okay. So in your own congregation, you preach the gospel, you proclaim God's word, you administer baptism and the Lord's Supper, and you are making the claim as a pastor that God is using these means by which his word promises to that he will work, and you say that people are being sanctified through it?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. It's amazing. Amazing to see the fruit. And early in my life, this is, you know, I had to learn this in the mid-80s because I started out in a whole different understanding where I was trying to study man. In other words, you look at everybody that comes through the door and say, okay, what's their problem? What's their past? What psychological issues do they have? And sort of a how-to approach.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a waste of time. The same people have the same problems for years.
Right.
It's sort of like, and that's what's wrong with our seminaries in many cases. There's too much of people management.
Uh-huh.
The spiritual formation is assuming there's some human process that we can discover and tap into to, quote, change lives.
Uh-huh.
And what they're meaning is not so much sanctification as sanitation.
Yeah, one of the claims I make is that, you know, just in analyzing the material and formal principles of modern-day American evangelicalism, it's as if the changed life is at the very center of their theology, and that's the test to see whether or not God is working in your life. You know, is your life changing for the better? Well, I know plenty of Christians throughout history who, upon receiving faith in Christ, their life didn't get any better. In fact, it got worse, and they ended up dead. You know, so they had a changed life, all right. They went from alive to dead. Is that what they mean by a changed life?
Yeah, when they talk about that, for instance, the seminary, when I was in seminary in the 90s, they brought in a field of study called marriage and family therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a therapeutic gospel. It has nothing to do with the means of grace. And then the next thing you know, you got these theories that really contradict the Bible.
Okay.
And we got to help people get their lives changed. Well, sanctification has to do with holiness, not just external behavior.
Okay, so wait a second. You're saying that holiness is different than external behavior? So I could be an upstanding American sanctified Christian in that, you know, I get up every morning at the crack of dawn, get to work on time, put in my 40 hours a week. I don't cheat on my wife. I don't drink alcoholic beverages. I don't smoke. And I make sure to have family game night on Friday night with my children and help out with the dishes. And are you saying I'm not holy?
If you are not walking in faith, by grace, and you can only be holy because of the imputed righteousness of Christ. You're not holy just by looking like a good person.
Wow.
See, there's a difference between the whole. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not an antinomian.
Okay.
I believe that those who God sanctifies do live lives that would bring glory to God by his grace.
Uh-huh.
But trying to change the external by human means, it cannot bring any sanctification, because sanctification is based on the word holy, and holy, God is a holy God, and nobody's good enough to be declared holy on their own merits.
Now, I think this strikes at the heart of Jesus's running battle with the Pharisees. The Pharisees seem to have a system by which they could employ spiritual disciplines, by which they could then turn around and claim that they were keeping the law, or, you know, God's holy commands. And did Jesus not claim of the Pharisees that they were like whitewashed sepulchers, that they looked great on the outside but were full of dead men's bones?
Yeah, actually, I was just preaching on that last Sunday. I was in Luke when he says that they were actually hidden tombs that were making other people impure without even knowing it.
But if you lived back then, a Pharisee was, you know, an upstanding person. I mean, this is the kind of guy you would want your daughter to marry.
Exactly. So, Jesus Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you shall by no means enter the kingdom. That was a shocking statement.
Mm-hmm. But I've heard Christian pastors in the United States basically turn around and say, Jesus said that your righteousness has to surpass that of the Pharisees, and then give you three practical steps on how that can happen on your own steam.
Well, they don't understand the gospel. No. And once you read it, if you understand that in the context, the only conclusion is to fall at Jesus' feet and plead for mercy.